Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So one of my more recent, like towards the end of last year, auditions was a sex scene. And now the way they had scripted it was that this couple does their morning check-in routine while doing it. So, you know, it's sort of like interspersed breathing with words. And I remember, like, I had my friend, and he's gay. So, like, you know, but we were both uncomfortable.
World, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, this is a show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey and I make them share some bad audition stories with me. If you're not subscribed to the show, make sure you hit that subscribe button right now wherever you're listening and follow us on social media for some exclusive videos and fun little graphics. And, you know, we run polls and fun things on there all the time. Speaking of social media, we launched a YouTube channel. Yay! Hello, 2023. What's up, YouTube? Also new is our Discord. Yes, we have created a Discord community for all of you, and we hope that you share your audition stories over there so that we can read them to all of you. A listener tale in each episode. We'll see. If you guys submit them, we'll do it. Today on the show, we have Fikile Mtwalo. You may remember her from the South African soap opera Insidingo. She's also one of the stars of the brand new Amazon Prime movie About Fate. We have a great conversation, and it was so fun talking to her. So here's my conversation with Fikile. And welcome to the show, Fikile.
Thank you. And oh my gosh, you got my name right. Thank you so much. Ah!
Okay, you don't understand. I was sitting here for like 10 minutes beforehand praying that I was saying it correctly. I was watching videos. I was like, I'm going to get this right.
You nailed it. But Fikile, for a lot of Americans, is an acting vocal exercise on its own.
It really is. Really is. Well, I'm very excited to have you on the show and talk about your new film About Fate. But before we get into any of that, the first thing I always ask is, what made you want to be an actor?
Wow. What made me want to be an actor? You know, the smart answer is that it just gives me the opportunity to fully expand into all of the humanity that I have available. And I find that incredibly freeing. But I think more esoterically, because I am the only artist in my family, I come from a country where, sure, I did acting at school. I was lucky enough to have access to that. But as a career path, it was sort of a little unheard of. I just think it must be a calling of some kind.
I love what you just said. It is a calling. It feels like, I feel like every artist in probably the history of humanity has had that thing within them telling them that they have to go do something.
Right. Yeah. And it's really fun. It's fun. It's the only thing, honestly, it's the only thing that stuck.
Yeah. So you grew up in South Africa. How did you make this transition to moving to New York and starting your full-fledged professional acting career?
Mm-hmm. I actually grew up in Lesotho, which is a country that is landlocked by South Africa completely on all sides, like the Vatican.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's where I was born. And I spent the first 16 years of my life there. And when I had this discovery that I wanted to be a performer of some kind, I went to the University of Cape Town, which is in South Africa. Uh-huh. And I studied film production. But I was always jealous of our talent. Like, as a producer behind the scenes person, I was looking at all the talent like, oh, they look like they're having the best time. I think I want to do that. So after I graduated film, I decided I was going to be an actor. And so I moved to Johannesburg, which is sort of like the LA, I guess, of South Africa. And honestly, like my, at the time, pinnacle, because that's, you know, you come from a landlocked country, like the country that's around you seems like the rest of the world.
Big. Yeah, I mean, I'm still stuck on that. That's mind-blowing to me. I had no idea that that existed.
Yeah, like if you look at the map of Africa, obviously South Africa is like right here. And then like right in the middle, there's a little dot and that's my country. Wow. And it's a sovereign country. We have a king and a queen.
You do?
And they're just as dramatic as the royal family. They have a very close relationship. It's a Catholic nation. Yeah.
Wow.
Little geography lesson.
Yeah. See, I failed at geography, so don't mind me. You tell me that something's in Canada and I'd be like, absolutely not. I don't know. What? Sure. So, okay. So you go to Johannesburg and mm-hmm. that's where you start pursuing acting?
Start pursuing acting. I was lucky enough to get my break relatively soon, I would say within a year. But by the time that year was done, I got my break and I'd gotten into NYU's grad acting program. Mm. So I sort of did my stint in South African television almost really quickly, almost like a year's worth of like TV shows before going and starting my master's. And then I did 3 years at NYU, graduated, and yeah, you know, just have been pounding the pavement as an actor. You know how it goes.
Yeah. I really want to talk to you about the South African television market. Mm-hmm. I, before we got on here, I did look up, do you say it Isidingo?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I looked it up. I definitely watched some of it. I love a soap opera. So I was like, oh, hell yeah, we have a South African soap opera. I will be here for the rest of the day. But I want to know what filming that was like, because obviously it was already a very well-known show in South Africa when you joined the cast.
True. And Trevor Noah actually was on that too.
What?
So, yeah. It feels like a bit of a rite of passage for a lot of established South African actors to have worked on Isidingo. But yeah, that was the break I was talking about. And it was my first time doing like a multi-camera thing and being on a soundstage and them having, you know, these are like funny details that I remember. Like, I've watched this show my whole life and you're trying to tell me that outside is an outside. It's actually like a mural.
Oh my God, I love that.
That's how fresh I was.
Wow.
And you know, stuff like rain scenes, for example. Mm. Like over the year, the writers would intersperse rainy days. So, you know, there we were with wet umbrellas on a soundstage coming into the office because it rains in real life. So things like that really jumped out to me. But I also had just a great cast and directors that nurtured. They kind of, I maybe this is a soap opera thing because I don't know that I've experienced this on any other set, like just seeing someone young, hungry, eager, and pointing them in the right direction, very, very gently, but also like in an honest way. And I found that there, and they were very encouraging with my move to the U.S.
I've always said that I grew up on a soap opera, and I've always said that soap operas are like boot camps for young actors. I think it's brilliant if you can get in there into a soap opera, do, you know, a year to 3 years, and then move on and experience more.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, because, you know, the schedule is more predictable, but it's also rigorous. So you learn really fast, and it's a great way to establish your brand, because they've got such loyal fan bases, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You have those people who watch soap operas will stay with you for the rest of your life. They will support whatever you do, which is really an incredible type of fandom. I feel like even, you know, with the larger fandoms of like Marvel and whatnot, those can get really toxic. But I feel like soap operas are always so supportive.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
So you go to NYU, and then how was that switch for you? Moving from South Africa, going to New York, did you have friends and family there? Were you just kind of like, I'm out here on my own, let's do this?
Definitely the latter. I wasn't expecting the level of culture shock I actually experienced. And I think that is due to the American marketing machine all over the world that makes you think that you have some sense of what goes on here, because it's so everywhere, you know, American programming, American music, products, even like culture, that's one of the biggest exports of this country. So you kind of think, oh yeah, I know what America is about. Jay-Z, Beyonce.
Like, hell yeah, that's easy. Got it.
But it's not that simple. And so the culture shock was tough, and New York is a tough city. And I wanted to go home every single day. But I think after about a year, I committed to the process, and the grad acting program is all-consuming. So it wanted me to give my whole self to it. And once I surrendered to that, it became a lot easier.
I think that's a good lesson for a lot of things in our life, right? Surrendering and just knowing, okay, well, it's out of my hands. I'm gonna give myself to the process and hope for the best.
I mean, that's basically my audition process.
Which is a good process to have.
Yeah, it also took me a while to get there too.
So you're in this grad program, and then what made you want to stay in America, or did you go back to South Africa and then come back? What was that process like for you as an artist and as a human?
I went home as often as I could, which was, you know, twice a year when they let us. And then afterwards, my former husband and I decided that we were going to just try to stay here and make it work professionally. But yeah, that's kind of what made me stay, is because I was just like, I want to give my talents the best shot that I can, and this is the biggest stage in the world, and I'm already, you know, so close. Like, I'm here. It would be tougher in South Africa to establish myself as an international actress from there. It's absolutely possible. But I did go back in my second year in 2016 to film a second season of It's Complicated, which was the series I was in. So I did some things throughout grad school when I could go home and had the chance. But I think after I graduated, I was like, I think I'm going to make it work here. Things are more equitable here, although there's always a ways to go in terms of that. And you get paid more. People have people like me, artists have unions that protect them. There's a little bit more freedom and opportunity here.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
And back to the show. And how long, so you stay here, you make this wonderful decision to stay in New York. And how long until you book that role, that like first, you know, Union American role that you're like, yeah. Heck yeah, I'm here, I'm making strides.
It was 3 years. And it was a very, I feel like my journey, and that's the thing I feel like actors who are coming into the business is that like no one's journey is going to resemble your own. And your lane is yours. So I had challenges and struggles that nobody else that I knew had, and I just had to accept this was my portion. So obviously we have immigration issues if you're coming from the outside in, and the government here doesn't make it all that simple to work here if you weren't born here or if you're not a citizen. So when I did book this role, there was just so many things, because it was validating that, you know, after so long waiting for my green card to be issued and being able to work here legally, that someone out there saw my talent and thought that I was good enough. And it validated that I was in the right place, because that too was a complicated, well, I only found out later like that it became my role after a lot of different things had to fall into place, but you know, that's life. So yeah, so 3 years.
And what was that role?
It was the About Fate role.
It was About Fate. Oh my gosh, perfect. Well, let's go ahead and talk about it. It's a brand new movie starring Emma Roberts and you. but tell me a little bit about the movie and your role in it.
Yeah, so About Fate is about two strangers that struggle to find their one. And the timing is, you know, the holiday season. And my best friend, Margot, played by Emma Roberts, who is wonderful, by the way, she ends up not having a date for her sister's wedding. And so after a lot of shenanigans and... a best friend who is trying to get into more shenaniganry. It becomes a bit of an explosive night. Yeah. So it takes place over New Year. So it is a holiday film, but it's like a New Year holiday film. So
I love right a holiday film.
Yeah, it's really, really cute. And honestly, it's about fate and how we try to control the outcomes. And it generally, it's just probably better to surrender because what's for you is coming to you, i.e. in Margot's case, like it's going to be right in your bed waiting for you.
And your character is a bit wild and fun. How do you relate to that?
Oh, I have a past. I mean, when I got the role at first, I was just like, I'm not a party girl. not anymore. But just leaning into my, you know, my university days, I had a great, like I said, I went to college in Cape Town. And if you know anything about Cape Town, it's a beautiful, like, coastal city, party city, tourist city. So I leaned into those years and the kind of person that I was at the time and is still in there somewhere, obviously. And that's how Dana was born. I also made her British, which was pretty random, but it just felt right.
Was that in the breakdown or was that something you brought to the audition?
I brought it to the audition. It was not in the breakdown. But, you know, they didn't say American either. You know, sometimes they're very specific, like, this is, you know, use your standard American dialect. But I also feel like it might be just the me thing because they know me and they're like, okay, well, let's not have her go too crazy. I'll try, you know. So, yeah, that was a little loophole there.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How was it to film? I mean, that's a large movie for that to be like your first big you know, American role. Mm-hmm. How was it to film this huge movie in a big city and all the things that go with it? Because I mean, you're starring opposite Emma Roberts. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Okay. So it was still COVID, and so everything kind of didn't feel maybe as big as it could have been. You know, productions were scaling down on sets. We're not all together all the time. Everyone's trying to keep things like super minimal. And it was also shot on location in Boston. So, yeah, a little bit of a smaller city than LA or New York, but still big. But it felt manageable, not overwhelming. Because I think with COVID, everyone just wanted to tell the best story that we could with what we had.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it definitely scaled everything down. And also, I think when you're not on, it's a different vibe when you're filming on location versus filming in a studio. In a studio, you can see all of the parts and all of the people, and it can feel overwhelming. But on location, you only see a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And so it feels more like a family setting, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That is what it felt like.
Okay, so on this show, we like to share audition stories.
Yeah.
That can be something bad, something funny, the one that got away, anything like that. Is there an audition story you'd like to share with the listeners?
You know, sex is great, but I don't like putting myself on tape doing it. Not like in like real life. Like simulating it. I don't like being put on tape simulating it.
I am deceased.
I'm not that kind of actor.
Oh my God. I love you.
I am, yeah, just for the record, not that
simulated,
kind of
actor.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So one of my more recent, like towards the end of last year, auditions was a sex scene. And now the way they had scripted it was that this couple does their morning check-in routine while doing it. So, you know, it's sort of like interspersed breathing with words. And I remember, like, I had my friend, and he's gay. So, like, you know, But we were both uncomfortable. And he was just like, I'm going to go sit in that corner and read you the line so you don't have to look at me while you do this.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was memorable.
Oh, yeah. And also, like, choosing your reader. Oh my God. One, yes. Always, always go with your friend who is attracted to the opposite sex of whatever you are for a situation like this, because otherwise it's strange.
Right. Exactly.
But also, just like, how did you choose your that friend? Because I don't know that I have a friend that I would choose to do that with.
You know, that's funny because he has a way of shout out Devere if you're listening, but he has a way of making everything comfortable and safe. That's why I love him. You know, that's New York radiators. Makes your house sound haunted. Yeah, he has a way of just calming me down and helping me not get in my head too much about things. Okay. So, but I also come from a community of amazingly talented people. And so we call on each other and we help each other.
Mm. How was that for you coming out to New York and building this new community? And finding your people, it's so hard to find people as an adult. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I still have struggles with that, of finding people that I truly feel like belong in my community or I belong in theirs. How is it for you to come here and truly discover a brand new community?
It was a process, and I think I was lucky because I had the school setting. So school is obviously great if you're part of a work setting. And then after school, it became a little bit more deliberate. So looking for members of the African diaspora who are also in New York City, what do they get up to? What parties do they go to? But I think being in school here, and the type of program it was and how intense it was for 3 years, unless there's something wrong with you, you come out with a family, you know, and I'm really grateful that that was a result of that too.
Before we wrap things up here, I have to talk about your entrepreneurial side, because we love a woman who is in charge and doing multiple things. So tell me a little bit about your company, Glubs.
So Glubs is a biodegradable disposable glove brand, and I was born in Brooklyn during the pandemic when I realized that the streets were just littered with medical gloves. So what people don't know is that gloves are usually made out of nitrile, which is essentially plastic, and they take about 300 years to break down in a landfill. So every little glove you see, that's going to take 300 years to break down in a landfill. And that bothered me. So I decided that I was going to find a way to bring a more sustainable option to the market, essentially. So I've partnered with a company that was producing a line of biodegradable gloves, but not necessarily promoting or distributing them. And I was like, well, people know about this. I love to tell a story. I'm a brand person. I think this could really, really do well. And so I built the Glubs brand. And essentially what we want to do is bring Americans and the rest of the world a more sustainable option for medical use gloves. They're not going to go away. It's tough to recycle, because with medical equipment, you know, that's dangerous. And so it's just like, how do we just make the impact less? So gloves break down in 10 years or less. So in a landfill, which is still a long time, and we fully acknowledge that. But
compared to 300 years.
So, and this is vetted. Studies have been performed on the glove itself. Basically, huge vats of synthetic rubber are put in tubs and they add a chemical additive that makes the breakdown process a lot faster. That's how it works. And that's my company.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we're still pre-product. We are working on raising capital to do a launch of the product and basically get it to market as soon as possible. So if there's any investors out there, give me a call.
Yeah. Hit her up. Is it only going to be for medical? Because when you were talking about this, I was also thinking about, you know, like salons and hair care and all the people that have to use gloves all the time. Yeah.
No, not only for medical, but I think just as a standard of safety, we wanted to make the product medical grade. But that also means food safe. That also means chemically resistant. That also means non-comedogenic. So we just wanted to make sure that the grade, the quality was as high as it possibly could. They're not surgical gloves. So that's another level. You have like surgical gloves, then you have like examination gloves, which is what most people like have under their sinks in their homes.
Right.
And then you get food prep gloves. Those are the lighter ones. So this is medical grade and absolutely safe to use in food with chemicals like in a nail salon or hair salon or tattoo parlor, those kinds of things.
Amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you mentioning my baby gloves.
Of course. I love it when I have actors on here who have other businesses as well, because I think it's important not only, you know, as artists to sustain ourselves in another way, but also I think it's important as artists to have our foot in other doors because it ultimately informs characters and brings inspiration and creativity into what we do as artists.
Absolutely. Business, I mean, all businesses really is like you're creating something out of nothing. And that's what building a character is. And so I think artists, actors, I'm really passionate about us just expanding our horizons. And I think when we try, we always surprise ourselves with what we're actually capable of doing. Because this is hard. This is hard. So you can do anything.
You can do anything. That's amazing. Do you have anything lined up on the horizon? Speaking of acting stuff.
There are a few projects in the pipeline. I'm looking forward to this pilot season that's coming up for sure. Writing a ton. So that has honestly just given me so much life creatively. And so I think this will be a good year.
Heck yeah. We're going to put it out there. It's going to be a great year. We're going to do all the things. Where can people follow you on Instagram and all those places so that they can follow what you're doing and check out your company?
Okay. So on Instagram, I'm Fikile Mtwalo, which is basically my first and last name. So you'll find me there on Instagram, Twitter. And then my gloves is Wear Gloves, like put on gloves, wear gloves.com, and it's also at Wear Gloves on Instagram and Twitter. Oh, I have a TikTok account now. That's also Fikile Mtwalo.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It has been such a pleasure talking to you and getting to know you, and I am so excited to see all of the amazing things that you accomplish in your career and your life and everything.
Thank you so much, Jillian. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And I hope you have an amazing rest of the year.
Yay. Thanks again to Fikile for coming on the show and spending some time with me. Make sure to tune in next week for another fun-filled episode with another fun and amazing and fantastic guest. 2023 is really shaping up to be the year of incredible people. So buckle in. It's going to be really fun, and I'm really excited. And hey, make sure to check out our Discord. Once again, I might start sharing some listener audition stories if you submit them in. So go to the notes section, click that link, join the community, and I'll see you over there. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that, as well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.